Blog. Welcome to Awakenings. Okay. I played that a little longer, but oh, that is a beautiful song. Beautiful song by the beautiful Marco May, who is our awakened guest today. Boy, that just put me in a mood. I'm your host and, as I like to say, co-pilot, Michelle Mache. Welcome everyone listening via Cosmic Dimensions. And welcome everyone that's coming in this chat room, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment. And hello to all that will be listening later to via archives and iTunes. Welcome you all. It's great to be here. Majorly have had some techie issues, so this definitely, that music definitely put me in a wonderful, wonderful mood here. So, love to connect with all of you. By the way, if you are listening via phone, that's great. We've got a little technical thing here. Just let me know if you have a question or comment by pressing 1 on the keypad. Otherwise, I will just figure that you are just listening. And that number is 347-539-5122. Again, 347-539-5122. And press 1 on the keypad, letting me know that you would like to say hi. Or you have a question or comment. And, of course, I will be doing readings until our guest comes on air. Love doing that for all of you. And, actually, I have a few questions that some people have emailed in. Also, if you are new to Blog Talk Radio, that's great. Welcome. And if you're listening as a guest, that's great as well. But if you would like more interaction, which means asking questions in the chat room or just connecting with other listeners via chat, all you need to do to register is just scroll down to the bottom of the chat dialog box, and what's needed is your name and email address, and that will get you rocking and rolling in the sacred space of empowerment. All you need to sign in is name and email. And you can listen as a guest, that's fine too. We have a lot of people that listen by phone or just come by. So, like I was starting to say, oh my God, have been having amazing poltergeist-like phenomenon. And Light is asking too, we've been having technical problems also, car, computer, TV, is there something in the air, Mercury retrograde? We're going to talk about this today. I touched on it a little bit in my blog and some other writings I've been doing. And apparently, we need to talk about it more because it's going to be the intensity is going to be heating up. How's that? Or cooling down, whichever way you want to look at it. Either way, we've got a lot of phenomena. And that's actually what the emails were about. It's interesting. I had a whole other direction I wanted to go in, because of the emails and what Light has put in the chat, it's so appropriate. Now, we normally, you've heard me talk about these gateways that we have every November, December, where we get an infusion of light. Now, light, remember, is electrical. The subtle energy, the more we get into the subtle energy out of the denser physical body, the more we get into the subtle energy, the lighter, the tinglier things are. Things move more quickly. Any of you that meditate know this. When you're meditating, you actually feel very relaxed, but you're very aware of your surroundings. The other thing, if you have questions, please don't send them to me personally because that kind of throws me off. Call in or put in the chat in caps when we get to that part. So if anybody's ever done this, and actually there's been a lot of research in the healthcare profession as well as in certain portions of the scientific community that have shown that when you're actually in a meditative state, there's actually more brainwave activity, not less. A lot of times people think that meditation is about, you know, zoning out. It could be zoning out to more of the higher mind or other realms of consciousness, which actually vibrate at a higher rate, a higher frequency. And because of this higher rate of vibration and frequency, there's actually more activity. But the body is relaxed. That's what's very important. So there's brainwave activity, but the body stays very relaxed. That's just like also high-level athletes, elite athletes, runners, dancers. When you're in that flow, or even in your life, when you're in that flow, you're very focused on something, but your body is very relaxed. There's not a lot of tension. I mean, that's one way you can tell if somebody is an elite athlete. They don't have a lot of tension in their body. There's a fluidity. They might have aches and pains or need, you know, chiropractic or massage to stretch out this and that, or obviously injuries and things, but it's because of use a lot, but it's not because that they're tensing up. So what we have here is that because we're these gateways are extending, and you probably all have heard this, that the veil is lifting, or many veils, there's many veils. And a veil is a dimension of experience. So as veils lift or dissolve, whatever, you know, terminology you want to use, what happens is you're getting more and more into the realm of more spirit. You're moving beyond the denser physical plane into what we call the etheric and then astral plane. And then from the astral plane, you get into the higher, it's beyond mind. You get into the mental realm, but then when you get into the realm of spirit, you get where things are less diffused and there's spirits there. So as Light is asking, Debbie is asking as well, and then we have a couple of questions on this of what is going on. Remember that everything that's created is an extension of our consciousness. So when we invent something, whether you invent it, I invent it, or somebody else invents it, you know, Steve Jobs inventing something, or the people that work from Apple, it doesn't have to be just something technologically. But it comes out of, some people say, the mind of God, or the all that is. It comes out of the collective to some degree. Just that person or group of people are attuned to that frequency and download that or draw that in. So a lot of what we have created is based on an older consciousness. So not that it's bad, but so what happens as we are raising consciousness, or we're raising ourselves into more consciousness, as we're becoming more aware, our vibrational frequency as a people, as a person, human, you know, having this human experience, is no longer as much in alignment as our technology, as our cars and our computers. So no, there's not Mercury retrograde. It feels like that. And I said poltergeist activity because I've had, I have this anyway. I have a lot of physical phenomenon around me because of the work that I do and the, you know, how I live, etc. As a psychic channel medium. So I can ask for things and then they'll come through in a physical form, or, you know, a question or an answer, you know, I want to know about this, and it'll come come through for me physically. The things will move. A card will move itself out of a tarot deck that has been rubber band and placed for me, or my angel cards, or sofas move, or, you know, just lots of kinds of things happen, things appearing or disappearing. But there's more of this going on, and I actually had a friend of mine who used to be kind of a mentor of mine. I was mentioning this, and she's a lot older, and she was saying, oh, one of my sisters said maybe I'm going, getting dementia, early dementia. And I started laughing, and I told her, I said, no. There's a lot of this that's going on, especially since the beginning or first or second week of January, because this last gateway has actually extended. Just think about it. Look at all, you know, we're in the 2011. So, you know, the numbers, dates, even your own name breaks down to a mathematical configuration that represents a frequency. So this 2011, we have a lot of 11, 11, 11, 111 energy, which are all attunement and activation, acceleration frequencies. What else can I tell you? So we've had a lot of, and we're going to continue to have a lot of that through 2011. So 2011 is a year, let me just tell you, clear what you can emotionally, get the junk out, because you're in for a ride. And if you really allow yourself to be open, you can really skip 1,000 steps. If you've really been prepared, if you've prepared yourself, and you've, and I mean prepared yourself in a way that is, you know, just through getting clear emotionally, not getting drawn up into a lot of baggage, if you will, you know, connecting more to your soul's purpose, those kinds of things, living more in a way that is, you know, more light. You're allowing literally more light in, then things can really begin to happen for you. So this year is a lot about dissolving, dissipating things, disappearing, whether they're physical things, whether they're people that are no longer supporting or resonating to you. But it's also a building year and a stabilizing or a year about security. So those of you that have, and again, there's no wrong or right, it's all a timing issue. But some of you are going to look around at someone next to you and say, God, how come they're getting so stable and so secure and everything's coming together for them and everything's breaking down for me or dissolving? Because the last two and a half years, they've been in a breaking down cycle, and they've been in a dissolving, and they've had to do some deep inner work and face some things that says, whoa, if things are really breaking down, I might as well find out what I'm really meant to do. Or, you know, and I've been seeing it with people that, you know, family members crossing over, divorce, you know, children leaving the home and just saying, why is everybody leaving me? And I'm saying, well, they're not leaving you. It looks like that, but we're all connected spiritually, right? But you have to change your relationship to them. And once that happens, they'll come back in a different way. So, you know, if that's any consolation. So if you are dissolving, if things are disappearing from you, people, jobs, if things seem very chaotic, they will build back up and they will stabilize again. But this is the year you're really going to see it really in a very marked way. So as people are talking about what's going on with lights flickering, some of that is coming from ourselves. As we're opening up to these other dimensions and realms of ourselves, our own selves, more expanded realms of consciousness, you will create electrical phenomenon, because, right, we're electrical magnetic beings. So you will notice things being drawn to you or things becoming more electrical in your life. That is just showing you that you're shifting, that you're in a acceleration time. You've been activated. So we go through these activation times where there's activation, acceleration, attuning or aligning, you know, almost like when you when you paint or you color and you blend something, that's what the attunement is. It's a blending or an integration so that you can stabilize. Everyone knows what an activation is. You get activated and, you know, something begins, something starts happening. You can feel it or something opens. And we know what the acceleration is. Things speed up. So one thing I would really suggest are meditate, meditate, meditate. I happen to really love my meditations. And there's freebies on the selfinlight.com. And Elsie, our guest, has some meditations too. So we'll talk to her about that too as well. The Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living has some freebies. Let's see, what else? And the Conscious Inspired Living also.com has some freebies on there too, actually a whole meditation. And really what you want are meditations that are alignment meditations, attunement meditations that work with breath work. You don't want to have to get into long, drawn-out meditation. You can. I love it. You know, I meditated 45 minutes yesterday in the morning and in the evening. But you want to be able to, especially when you're getting in a stuck state or things are triggering you, you want to be able to align, attune to yourself, your true nature. Because what's happening is we're all moving into a time where we're creating this map, right? We're living by this map that we're co-creating or it's coming through us. And then the ego personality is learning where it's going. Your higher self already knows what's unfolding. So it's really only the ego personality that you're tuning or aligning more to the vibration of the soul and your spiritual essence, which means connecting in more spiritually. So because of that, you want to be able to do shorter meditations. Also music that uplifts you or puts you in a state of calm or balance, equanimity. Also, anything like walking meditation, anything that's working with movement, anything right now that's working with sound, tone, chanting, movement, and what am I saying here, everyone? Anything that gets you out of that conscious, cognitive, rational thinking mind so you can move more into the feeling nature. Because what's happening is the call is to connect more from the pineal gland, which is activating the higher dimensions of the brain or the higher doorways that people think have been dormant, so that the meditative state becomes your everyday state, so that you're constantly accessing. It's a second nature, your intuition. And so if you see uncertainty or you don't see where you're going or what's being created, you can relax in that, knowing that there's a part of you that is orchestrating everything, a part that's always connected to the flow. I got this wonderful little Pilates power gym I've been using. Pilates is amazing. Anything that you're working with breath and any kind of rhythm, the Pilates machine has that glide, that wonderful glide. Some meditators tend to rock. I do that sometimes when I'm talking. That connects you to the hum or the om of the universe. So anything that you can do that gets you into the rhythm of the universe or the rhythm of the earth, however you want to look at it, anything that's rhythmic, anything that's flowing, circular movement, you want to start adding that in. That's also going to help with your sleep patterns, because also with the shift, there's a lot of disruptive sleep patterns. So anything that you can do that brings you into that rocking motion. Why do you think babies respond so much to rocking? It's because that is our innate way of moving, is in a circular fashion. We've learned to be very staccatic, you know, staccato, very up and down, left and right, bam, bam. We've learned to be like that in this kind of constructed world. But really, I mean, we're a combination of both, and you can actually see that in music. But the right combination brings a harmony, a harmonizing or cohesiveness, and not a dissonance. So we're moving out of dissonance into cohesiveness or coherence. So let's get some questions. I've been unusually irritable. The last time I felt this way, we had an earthquake. Exhausted at the end of the day, even when not active. Okay, the one thing is you are active. Even when, you know, it's said in the I Ching that action, we're always doing action. Even in non-action, we're doing action because we're taking the action to not do something. And that sometimes is right action. So you're doing a lot of work, a lot of healing other dimensionally. That's one thing that's going on, I can say, with everyone. But also all that you're absorbing. I have been having dreams and visions about earthquakes and being prepared. And so I do feel that there is one. Is this the biggie? I don't feel so, but I do feel that there's been a lot of smaller earthquakes happening. But also earthquakes are representing on the subtle energy coming through the subconscious mind, disruption in one's life, and needing to make changes. So if you're dreaming of that, look at where do you need to have changes so you don't have to have an earthquake in your life. If you're feeling tired, you need to do some meditation. You need to do some things that draw in more of the source energy or universal energy. You're not getting enough. The ego personality, we have a finite amount of energy, but our source energy, which is connected to the all that is infinite. So you need to connect into infinite energy. Let's see. Oh, we do have callers. 347-539-5122. 347-539-5122 is the call-in number. And press 1 on the keypad if you would like to be heard. Let's see. I just want to make sure I answer that one question, another question that I just saw in the chat, and then we'll get to the phone lines. Let's see. So irritation, anger is always someone's overstepped your boundaries or you've allowed someone to. So you might need to look where have you been giving too much and not receiving enough or open to receive or renew. Self-care is a form of receiving. And the technical problems have to do with the shift, and expect more of them until everything or enough of what we have in our life is anchored in the new energy of the new consciousness, the new emerging consciousness. Let's see. Okay. So we've got 484-792. Welcome to Awakenings.
Yes. Hi. This is the first time calling in.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. What's your first name?
My first name is Toni, T-O-N-I.
Okay, Toni, hi.
Hi, and I'm calling from Pennsylvania. Now, the reason I'm calling, and I hope maybe you can clarify it or try to break it down for me, it started in December. I started having a gut feeling that a gentleman that I was involved with was going to be moving here, and it was just like a theory. It was just like whatever.
Right.
And then now, as we're progressing to January and now October, I'm starting to see the whole vision. I'm starting to see the color of the car, the color of his pants, the color of the duffel bag that he's carrying his clothes in. He's going to be wearing gray sweatpants. The bag's going to be like a burlap, like type of potato sack bag with the clothes in. And he's coming to tell me that he wants this relationship and that he's here, and he made this astronomical move to show me that he does truly love me and care about me because he is going to be moving from another state. We have not been talking in over 3 months. That's his choice, not mine.
Right.
He's been involved for 2 years. It's a long distance, long drawn out relationship. So is that the universe telling me, look, get ready because this is what's going to happen because, see, I'm a Virgo. I kind of need to know what's going on. I don't like surprises and abruptions. That really gets me worked up. So is that a way of saying, look, he's coming. Get yourself mentally prepared.
Yes. Now, I want to say it's coming from you. Now, what's happening, we had such a disconnect in our society of relying on information from our higher self, higher power.
Okay.
That aspect of us as God, whatever you want to call it, I don't know, inner teacher, inner guide, whatever you want to call it, psychic self, intuitive self.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to see, because again, you know, I talked about that. I don't know if you heard the program where I talked about that this new energy is like a revolving door and I couldn't remember the name of it, but anybody that's been in a city, and maybe they have them in smaller cities too, I don't know, but you walk through this door, but it revolves. So some people are coming in and they go on the outside. Some people are going in, you know, and it keeps going. You can go round and round and round and round in it. So, yes, you are going to be getting, everyone is going to be getting a heads up of what's coming in for them. And it's going to come through dreams, visions, flashes. It will also come from feeling, but there will be a visual aspect to it. There will be a vision or a dream. And it is, the test is to trust. Now, I will tell you, your higher self, in all my years of doing this kind of work and all the training I've had, your higher self will never have you do something that is crazy, is extreme. It's not going to come from an extreme high or low. You know, there will always be some type of stepping stone or safety net there. It may not be the one that your ego wants, but there will always be something there. It'll you know, in hindsight especially, it'll make sense.
Okay.
So the test, I feel, for you is to trust your intuition and to let go of attachments to trying to make things work or happen in a certain way. So you're getting a preview. It's like, yes, this is going to happen, but you need to trust. You need to trust your path, and you need to, you do your meditation, trust your inner guidance system, basically, is what I'm hearing for you. But, yes, I'm hearing this all the time from, you know, and many of us, again, this is a mass awakening where you don't necessarily – you only have to put the energy into doing the emotional clearing work, making sure that you're getting clear messages and that you raise your vibrational frequency by not having stuck states, stuck emotional states, or stuck patterns.
Okay.
But the opening is just there. It's just going to happen, you know. And so go ahead.
Now, I'm trying to figure out, why would this gentleman be wanting to move to my state and do all this? Number one, is he doing this because he wants to show me that he's really serious about me and he loves me? Or is he moving here to run away from something from his state? See, I don't know.
Tony, you're not trusting, are you? The one thing I feel around you, what does Florida mean to you?
His mother, that's funny that you mentioned it.
Because I feel somebody from Florida.
No, listen, his mother wants to move to Florida. Yeah. And she has custody of his two children that he had from a woman a couple of years ago. So she might be telling him, hey, I'm out of here. I'm taking the kids. I'm leaving. I don't know. See, I don't know. And like I said, with him not talking to me for 3 months, there must be something serious going on, because this is not like him.
Well, I do feel two things. I feel some money issues, but I do feel another woman around him. Was he in the middle of a divorce or breakup when you two met?
No. We've been together for 2 years, but he was telling me that his ex-girlfriend was bugging
coming
him
around.
Constantly going to his mom, saying, where is he?
That's what I feel. He's caught up in the drama with the former, the ex. That's why I asked you that. So that's what's going on. I feel that your test is to really love yourself and your life so much that you don't get caught in his drama. But interesting enough, I do see you either vacationing there. I don't see you staying living where you're living. I feel warmer climate around you, and I keep feeling something with Florida. Very often we meet people that have a piece or pieces of where what we need or where we're going.
Okay.
And that's why sometimes it tricks the ego, because we go, oh, my God, it must be this. And then it's only like two things are it and three things are not, and we try to – mold those three things to fit, you know.
Okay.
But I do feel another relationship around you, and you either meet this person when you're out of town, like on a vacation.
Okay.
It might even be something with work, like there's some kind of I don't know, either you get a bonus or there's a conference or something and you end up going there, because I don't see you on your own. I see another female with you. And you end up meeting this gentleman. And I do see the back and forth relationship. I do see him coming to spend time with you. I feel what you're getting in the dream is that this person would give up where they live for you,
mm-hmm.
but I don't feel they're going to have to, because I feel you're going to want to move with them, actually. But you need that kind of commitment. You need someone to say, I'm going to fully be with you completely. And see, what you're getting is this other person is not, because there's going back to the former, and there's all the drama with the mother and the kids and the ex and da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
He's not fully in your life, and you're not fully in his life. And you want someone to leave that past in that way, that emotional attachment, to come to be fully with you.
Right.
And
now,
I do feel
that. Do you see him doing that by moving here, or?
No. The guy that you meet, which is not the one that you're talking to now, because I feel
okay.
him connected with ex, and there's a mishy-mashy there. It's just, you know.
Okay.
But I do feel somebody new, and I feel that you meet them on some kind of vacation or work vacation situation.
Okay.
You're out of town.
Right.
And I feel he would move for you, but I feel where he's at, I feel, honestly, and this is going to be the big mm-hmm. test for you, I feel that you end up moving with him. But you are going to make him prove himself all along the way. Because I feel you eventually move to a warmer climate, and it's with this gentleman.
This new one that's coming.
The new one.
Yeah. So what is this gut feeling I keep getting that this other one is going to show up here and just say, hey, I'm here, I want this to work.
No, because that's your test, though. But you know what? Something that my mother said that I fought for years and years and years, and then later mm-hmm. in my therapy courses, my psychology courses, my metaphysical courses, people said
right?
the same thing. To make changes requires a lot. If someone hasn't made certain types of changes in their life, you know that saying, a leopard doesn't change their spots?
Right.
I've come to believe that. They rearrange them. So you will have a chance to go back with that person. However, you have to ask yourself, somebody that goes MIA for 3 months and has this entanglement with the ex, you're never going to have that type of relationship where it is you having a fresh start, and that's what you require for trust. So
right.
that's going to be your test, and it's between you and your higher self. Ultimately, it's not going to work out with him anyway. So but there's no harm, no foul. If you go back and you try it, you'll just be teaching yourself something, and that's what
right.
this is really about. It's between you and your higher self. But get some of the meditations. Start working on meditating and even clear. I've got a 5-step emotional clearing process on my website, selfenlight.com.
Okay. Right.
And get clear. There's a projection perception, which is a freebie that you can just download.
Okay.
Start doing that at least for 30 days. And so you move out of the projection with this person so you can start seeing clearly. Because
okay.
you're getting a little taste test of what you can have from your higher self.
Right.
But you have to pass through this little valley here.
Right.
All right,
absolutely.
Tony?
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Blessings. Okay. 520-404, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. This is Allison.
Hi, Allison. How are you?
I recently connected with you on Facebook, and I just have to say thank you so much.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes. I'm pretty new to all of this. I would say that I stumbled upon this all about 4 months ago, so I'm on a huge path of awakening, and I definitely have connected with you and what you think, and just want to say thank you. Yeah. So,
good.
My main question is, and I think I spoke to you in this with the email I sent to you. I recently heard about birth parts through some of your archives, and I just wanted to know if maybe you could tell me a little bit more about mine.
And about what now?
Birth charts.
Well, you'd have to. I can, but you'd have to get your month, date, and year, and where you were born. You do have those, and then construct a chart. So right now, I'm not really doing astrology. I'm doing, because I'd have to look in the ephemeris to see what was in what. Let's see. Why don't you just give me what's your? Do you know anything about your chart?
I want to say that according to one of the archives that I was able to listen to, I did a little bit of research and realized that I was a healer. My one of my signs, and forgive me for not knowing the technical terms because this is still so new to me, but I believe that I found that I was a healer. And I would just like to learn more about that because I'm encompassing the healing in areas of my life with other people, and I just want to know, I guess, a little bit more about, I guess, what that means to me.
Okay, so give me, Allison, give me your birth date then. Let's look at it this way.
June 12th, 1979. And I was born at 3:35 p.m. in Denver, Colorado.
Okay, well, I'm not going to construct a chart. You could call in to do that because that takes too much time for us on the air, but let's see. Okay. Okay. One thing I feel you have this lifetime or this dimension, however you want to put it, you are going to be making a complete change, if you haven't already, to what you do. I call this the great, we all have this personally, what we call it a redirection. But it does show with you that you came in this lifetime to actually go in a certain direction. This is work, this is living situation. And then something occurs that you completely go in a, like friends will be saying, what is she doing? I can't believe she's doing this or she's really taking this up. Now, the one thing I feel, do you work with animals or nature at all? Because you have a strong energy towards animals and nature.
Well, I grew up with horses. I grew up on a farm. I've always been surrounded by animals, always.
Yeah. So. You have a really strong, with people, but especially animals. And I want to say I would, it's the healing for yourself and for others, the key for you is really working with animal beings. Horses, dogs, working with nature. They've got a very strong connection with that. In fact, I feel your energy is better in that environment than in a larger city. You can do that for a little while. I'm going to suggest a book to you, Animals Speak, by Ted Andrew. And it goes into the meanings and properties of different animals when you see them or you're drawn to them or you work with them. And I think that can really open some doors for you. I do feel you at some point working for some kind of center, spiritual center, holistic center. It's a multidimensional center because I feel you do need that kind of energy to ground you. You do seem to work well like with some kind of institution or company or group or organization, and then doing some things also on your own. And I do see some research, and it's around animals. Horses I can see as well, and it may be the healing properties, working with energy. That is one thing that I feel that is something that you need to work with. And you are going to work somehow medically also. So that could be, you could be some kind of practitioner that is interfacing. For instance, when I lived in England, I did healing work in the surgeries. So after people had surgery or, before, I would work with the doctor doing different forms of energy healing and work with the chakras and meridians and Reiki, that kind of stuff. I did a lot of that, and you know, Europe embraces that kind of thing more. But I feel like by the time you get kind of really going into this, you're going to find places where also children around you as well. So, again, it's tying in with the animal beings.
Okay.
And working in partnership. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, my husband's about actually to go back to school for massage therapy, and I have stumbled through your archives, thank you so much, upon the Reiki and just what that is.
Oh,
and then also Ayurveda. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, and then also Ayurvedics. And I don't know if I'm saying that right, but I met somebody who is going to go to school for that in California for Ayurvedics. So I've been very interested in Reiki, and I can see myself helping people that way down the road. So it's very interesting that you said that. And then also
Perfect.
The Ayurvedic, my good friend is wanting to open up clinics for Ayurvedics in the future. And I almost felt when she said that somehow I might be helping her with that down the road. So
there you go. There's the company. There's the organization or the institution. Yeah. So you are on your right path, but I also feel and I'm glad you said that about the schooling, because I feel a lot of schooling around you, workshops, you know, formalized training. So you have some time before you'll be working in this, but you have some time before you actually establish, your own practice. And I do feel it will be working with some kind of organization, group, company, healing center, however, combination of. But I do see also a lot of research that you're ultimately going to end up doing, and there will be that bridge of working with people, but also the animal beings. I'm even seeing like healing of certain types of children that have perhaps conditions or challenges that are working with animals, even specifically horses, that you're doing some form of energy work on both or working with them together. And I do feel a lot with herbal treatments around as well, and supplements. But I also see you testing them. I can see these little vials you're using. So you're testing them also energetically. So for you, a big part of the path is trusting the body wisdom, whether it's your own body wisdom or an animal being's body wisdom or a child's body wisdom or a person's body wisdom, tapping into that the resonant field through the body. Okay?
Right.
Wonderful. Wow. Thank you for calling in. It's great.
Thank you so much, Michelle. I really appreciate it. And I'll call in sometime, later, and we'll do the birth charts. I'm very excited to do that. So thank you for taking the time.
Oh, you are very welcome. Great to connect.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, I just love all this awakening. All right. Before our guest gets on, I'm going to answer... let's see, the question that came in, someone saying 3 weeks ago an evil spirit entered the body of a drunk woman and engaged me in spiritual warfare. I've never felt so much evilness. I could see when it took control over her and when she was in charge. At one point I stared it into the eyes and said, I have to hurt you. That being said, I felt such love and protection. Wonderful. I was guided each moment in exactly what to do and say and felt very powerful. My whole world has changed now. What is going on? What was that? We talk about the opposites coming together as one. I want nothing to do with that side of things. Please give me your perspective. Well, that side of things, we all have a little bit of that. But what you see when people do things evil, I'm not saying you need to hang around them, it is out of, we say, the wounding. You know, it's said metaphysically that we all come from this wound. Something happens to us to give us this depth. Some people live from that. So with all of this energy happening, this acceleration of energy, this intensification of energy, you are going to see people acting out, and you are going to see other aspects of them coming through that you might term evil, horrible, unhealthy. But what it is to see beyond that, to not get into duality, not to get into the right and wrong or good and evil, because then you're going to play out the polarity of it. Do whatever you need to do to heal from the situation, because it's, not pleasant and, perhaps in some ways just awful, and it emotionally drains you or hurts you. But it is to see that person's acting out of their wound, they're wounded. And with this energy, again, you're going to see a lot of that, because as more things are dissolving and people don't have the spiritual principles or spiritual understanding or aren't getting the support to know what's going on or what's happening, they're going to be lashing out. So you have to know it's not you personally, even if you happen to get into it. You know, I've had a few things myself, and I'm like, whoa, you know. It's, you just have to use your tools. You have to use your spiritual tools to make sense of certain things because they're not necessarily going to make sense on an ego personality level, especially if you're doing a lot of quote-unquote good in the world or helping people. It'll seem like, well, why is this happening to me? But, you know, it just does on some level. So the way not to get hooked in, the way not to build the karma around it is to not attach to what's going on. You know, today it's windy, tomorrow it's sunny. It has nothing to do with us if it's windy or sunny. Don't get in the middle of it. Don't try to be a part of that. And that's the best thing that I can say on that. But do your self-healing. Do what you need to do to heal from that, to not stay stuck in the aftermath of it, but also recognize that that person is being triggered or charged and, you know, move on down the road. Don't try to fix it. All right. Wonderful. Again, call in number 347-539-5122. And that's for questions and comments. And press 1 on the keypad. And so today our awakened guest is Mark Omey, amazing, I would say healer through music, wonderful composer, singer, songwriter, and musician. And she also composes some amazing music for meditation. I want to give a warm welcome to Mark Omey. Hello, Mark Omey.
Hello, do you hear me?
I do.
Oh, good. Glad to talk to you with you, Michelle. Bonjour, bonne journée.
Bonjour.
You know that with wonderful. The Beatles, the Michelle thing has been, you know, a sweet name to hear, and it's you know, in French we say Michel, which is not that different, but that's my French culture arriving.
Michel, yes. And the Mark Omey, I love that name. I love that. Does it have a meaning to it?
It's actually derived from Rene.
That's
where it comes from. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
So it has kind of French roots as well.
Yes, me as well. I find it, you know, it never ceases to amaze me that the programs that I have always fit so perfectly with the guests. And we've been talking about at the beginning of the program a lot about meditation or using music or sound to connect in more or relax or rejuvenate or align, using music as a meditation. And I know you do a lot with that with your music. Can you, Mark, may speak to that for a minute?
Sure, about meditation and music? Definitely.
Yes.
I think I've started actually not being aware of it, but I started meditating years ago as I was discovering music, actually. And yes, totally right. That's so true that it allows for a deeper connection, because this crude silence sometimes or noises in the house and the familiar things just won't get you disconnected and go inward. And I think that a music which has a good tone for you, it could be classic, could be a jazzy thing, whatever it is, anything will do as long as it really makes you feel, you know, make you go inward and makes you more at ease with yourself, I would say, in that period of time. And it's a nice way, to accompany oneself is into music. I rarely use my own music for meditation. I even use like even slower music, I would say, even not slower, but more ambient type of music. Or I use a lot of Gregorian chant at times, or things that are repetitive a lot that goes in the background that I don't get, you know, distracted. It depends on the type of meditation, I guess, you want to do. If you want to do awareness period, or you want to go inward, or you want, you know, depend on the type of meditation we're looking for. But actually, music for me is an inseparable companion with meditation, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a good point. So it's depending on what kind of meditation, you know, how would one choose what they're, I guess, going to listen to? Any suggestions on that?
Well, depending on the type of meditation, again, if you're looking for the type of meditation that keeps you connected, I would say from your center to the outer world and with nature, well, you can basically choose any type of music. Any type of feel-good music will take you there. You could listen to a Michael Jackson song or a Beatles song, any type of things that is like makes you feel good. And the open eye meditation to me is a little bit of this, is kind of getting into that place inside of yourself and being in relation with the outer world, where you feel, you know, have a glimpse of inner peace that you want to make grow a little bit more every day and increase that space gradually as you get older, hopefully. If you're looking for that type of experience where I would say more of extra body experiences, where you want to transcend your own body and you're more looking into your mind, you're going to the closed-eyed meditation. And a closed-eye meditation has a different purpose. I, for myself, did try different types of meditation, and now I'm really into more a kind of very practical type of meditation, which is taking a walk with the music I like and being all aware with all my senses and feeling the inside of my body the most I can in a day now. So meditation is kind of being imported into my way of life, and it's an active process, actually. And when I lose sight of my inner body, when I lose sight of that inner peace or self-respect or, you know, self-love, well, I know I don't judge. I grab myself back like I would do for my own child and say, well, come up here, you know, stay, come right back on the path. And you practice over and over and over, and I think that's what my life's been devoted to for the past 40-something years.
Yeah, it is, it is. It is a practice, isn't it?
Yeah,
I love what
think
you're
it's
saying.
Will. Sorry. I think it's a matter of will and a decision, firstly, to recognize that happiness comes from a state of mind and choices. And then you have to engage in the process, you have to practice, and you have to persevere. But that's not, I mean, there's a saying, there's a book, I think it's only in French, it says that happiness is not always easy. It's not always comfortable. And the older I get, and the more I think that's true. And we have to stop idealizing that state of happiness, which would be a permanent thing, like we see, unfortunately, in many, many movies, spreading a really non-realistic message.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I agree. And it is a choice. And you do have to use those tools. I mean, constantly. It's, you know, constant alignment, you know, very much. Now, Marco, I'm very curious, and I want to let our listeners know, how did you get on the path that you are on now with your spiritual focus and as well as your self-expression focus through music, which seems to many times, if not always, blend or dovetail with your spiritual focus?
Well, my spiritual path really unfolded lately, I would say around when I turned 40 years old. So very, I would say, late into my life. But I had always had a strong connection with nature. And I think that's where I was God-connected for all those years, even though I had rejected organized religions and things like that. And so I started investigating really later on, and I realized that I had in my music, unconsciously, had transported some spiritual values that I wasn't aware of because I had no name. I mean, my if I might say, my religion for many years has been love. Love meaning, you know, being responsible, being logic, being loving, being patient, tolerant, and so on, and a kind of Jesus 101 course, if I might say. And I realized that Buddhism had some attributes that were helping me out, and Zen and all those things, and I kind of created a self-help guide that brought me where I'm today. But music's been there since I was a kid. I grew up in a family where my uncles, you know, they were these Sunday musicians, no pretension, just picking up the guitar and violin and playing some songs. And they had a sound and TV shop in my grandmother's house where I was often. And I started playing with those old tape machines and looking at the needle going in the VU meter and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so they had me connected with, you know, sound equipment at a very young age, singing with them and hooking up speakers with amplifiers in the store that was adjacent of the house. So I became a mixture of sound technician, sound engineer, a singer, played guitar a bit, played violin a bit. And, you know, first thing I know, by the age of 17, I have my little studio. So
wow.
It wasn't a career plan. It kind of was those are things that were brought to me, and I got into them, and I'm a curious person, so I guess it just happened, and it came back to me very strongly, that appeal for music. I did try to go at university in economics and things like that, and I didn't fit in at all. I felt I was surrounded. I realized at one party that all my friends were in different programs than I was, and it didn't match at all. What was I doing in economics? It was a rational, very rational choice. And it took me some time to admit that I was more of an artist than, you know, an administrative person or something like that, because I did have other skills and a freedom of thinking, a huge imagination that kind of... They felt I was, you know, a weirdo with those guys in economics, and I just got, you know, kind of, okay, I think it's not a good way just to go with my big head thinking being an artist is not a plan, you know, because in my family people were, I don't come from a family with artists, and so...
So you don't?
It makes your family worried a bit, because they figure, oh no, not being a musician, you'll starve to death and so on and so on. So they lacked the confidence. They wanted me to have an ordinary type of work, and I did try all sorts of things, and I ended up working in sound. I ended up working with the most famous Canadian artist, worldwide artist. I had the privilege to work with Dinah Krall, George Martin from the Beatles. I mean, all those people kind of, you know, I was there following my musical path, doing my music for the fun of it, and that wouldn't point after I gave birth to my first child, it was like impossible to go around it. I needed to release something and make music the center, or at least a huge part of my development, my professional development.
Now we have a great question from the chat room, Marco May. In writing music, do you feel that it comes to you as if being channeled to you?
Oh, definitely. That's so true.
Okay.
I mean, the first time it happened, I thought I was weird. I thought, you know, what's my imagination? You know, what's going on? And over the years, I realized that the freer I leave my inner channel, if I might express myself like that, but I think your listeners are quite open to it, the freer I am, the less Cartesian, the less square or logic I am. I really have to leave the businesswoman aside and just open back and tune into that inner space and that outer world, feel the connection, and let the energy go, and the songs unfold by themselves in a few hours. And if I try to do it the other way around and say, okay, I need to do a song, it needs to be this and that, it needs to be finished, that and that, I mean, this is so hard. I can achieve it. But I've been fighting with the process for some time before realizing that my meditative process that I was having a little bit there over the years was gradually showing me that this state of being at heart in your mind, let the music come. So I'm under the impression that I'm not inventing anything, actually. Honestly, I feel that those things are coming through me. and I'm giving them back. It might be the collective thing. I just don't know, but I think it's funny because I feel much more as a transmitter than as a creator myself.
I love that, a transmitter. Yeah. Coming through, right?
And I think I'm wireless or Bluetooth because I go fast. So.
Yeah.
No, just for the technician in me that wanted to do a joke.
And here's another question coming in. How do you prepare to receive? How do you prepare to receive?
I guess I usually, when I get into the creative process, let's say I'm not. You know, I'm into something, I'm a little disturbed, or there's other things going on that, you know, you cannot avoid your whole life when you go into the process
right.
of creating a song. It's the same thing as you go to work. You cannot avoid the whole traffic. You cannot avoid the rest of the world because you're going to do that task. So sometimes I engage in it and doing things and more focusing into being nice to me right now. In other words, really going back to one practice that I have and one thing I adhere to, which is you get up with yourself every morning and you go to bed with yourself every night, so you better be your best companion. So I adopted this in the mid-30s after a burnout, after a depression, and I never stopped practicing that. So in other words, if I have to do something, because I have to keep moving on and mix the song, for example, and I have less inspiration, or I just become as kind as I can momentarily, and then, whoops, it kind of allows for this opening back to the source, because I realize it's not so much what I do, what's important,
mm-hmm.
but how I am, as I do it. You know, I like the saying from St. Augustine that says, love and do what you want.
Love and do what you want. Wow.
And to me, I go back to that saying every nanosecond if I need to in a day. If I'm back into an old pattern of being perfectionist, or let's say be impatient, or in a deception because something that was planned, whatever it is, you know, see, love
mm-hmm.
and do what you want afterwards. So it doesn't really matter what you. I don't want to put my value onto external things.
Mm-hmm.
It's more a state of being, and that's how people went through big tragedy in their lives. In Jewish camps or into a Nelson Mandela, or, you know, by relating to that inner sense of being rather than doing.
Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful that you're saying that inner sense of being. And I hear from you there's just a lot of allowing to come through. Something I want to bring you back to that you touched on, and that I want to get your opinion on. It seems, whether it's the artist, the creator, or transmitter, conduit, however you want to put it, it seems that what blocks any of us is just what you touched on, that perfectionism, or having to do it this way or that way, instead of just getting it out there. What do you use to kind of move around that?
Well, I've had some help. When I did my burnout in my 30s, I actually got a kind of cognitive therapy approach, which is really about, you know, we pay attention to the food we eat for our body, vegetables and fruits, or becoming vegetarian, whatever it is. But funnily, we don't pay that much attention to what we think, what we feed ourselves on, and we're not so aware. And another thing, you go and you will, the check engine light will lit on in the dash of your car. You'll go to the garage and you'll have some symptoms in your body, in your feelings, and you won't do a thing. So becoming aware of your thoughts, that's the first step. The second one is to decide to which theory from now on you relate to, which would mean that if I was brought by parents that had certain type of issues, which is the case for everyone.
Everyone.
I've never met a Jesus parent so far. But anyway, so, let's say your father or mother, whatever, it created in you some rejection habits because that's your survival mechanism that you developed at a pretty young age to compensate from the fact that you did not get the love or the esteem that you were yearning for because you're a child. So in theory, we should be taken care of, but we all know that our parents didn't got taken care of and so on and so on. So in the chain, we get this transmission of bad habits, bad mental habits, judgmental things, and are really harming ourselves rather than evolving us. We believe in the worst, we lose hope, and we compare in a weird manner and things like that. So, in other words, this way of looking at your own thinking, and it's also a way of doing a rehab on your whole thinking system and deciding from now on, yes, I was this. This happened to me. I felt like that. I felt like shit because my father did that. Well, it wasn't ever there. Mm-hmm. My mom wasn't whatever. We have to realize at some point that this was meant for some reason and they did what they could. We have to understand that and be realistic. And then we have to decide, what do I want to be today? Because
most
of the problem it relates to something that you developed to survive, to cope with lack of something when you were a child from your surroundings. And today you're still using, for example, the rejection mechanism or victimization or anger, things like that. And today you use that. And most of us, some of us, our father and mother are dead. And we're still into that reactional habit because we just happen to be programmed. And we are not aware that this program is kind of rolling and we're chemically addicted to it as well. If you've spent 15, 20 years in anger, you're chemically addicted to those emotions, unfortunately or fortunately. So it brings me to neuroplasticity in which I'm totally immersed right now. I'm fascinated with neuroplasticity. You can change that with patience,
absolutely,
love, and realism. You can change that, but the road to happiness is not easy. I have to admit that after many, many years.
Yeah.
It's not easy. My husband, just before I got married in 2006, my previous partner in life just went away with my best friend at the time. And it wasn't hard for me to move to understanding what was going on, things that I didn't see because I didn't choose to see at the time. I was unaware, unconscious. And I decided I would forgive because I understood. I did like those two guys. But afterwards, mm-hmm, it wasn't possible because I didn't want to be, to be in a threesome relationship. That wasn't my plan. So I decided to cut it off. They finally went away and so on. And my life took another turn because I understood that you have every decision that we make is like having an internal crossroad inside yourself. And you can go left, you can go right. There's
exactly
multiple possibilities. Are you choosing the one that's evolving you, or you're still choosing the one that's been harming you and you've been complaining about and expecting that the outer world will change, be the change
absolutely
you want to see in the world? That's Gandhi.
Absolutely. You say that about the charge, we call it emotional charge. I worked with someone years ago in repatterning, and I've seen this since happen, but this one situation, and did quite extensive bit of work, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months, and I was actually doing a check-in, how they're doing, and they said, I'm good, but life is different. I don't know. I kept querying her, what's going on? And then finally she said, I don't know, I feel neutral. I feel, I don't know if it's balanced, neutral. And what it was, after we ended up talking, she said, just what you were saying, the emotional charge was so gone in her life that she felt neutral. She said, I don't feel amped or anxiety. I don't feel, but she goes, but does that mean I'm not feeling?
I hope not, because emotions are the mechanism of the human body. Otherwise, you'd be a plant. You know,
But that's why the Buddhists say the middle way. There is, when you do get very clear emotionally, you aren't reacting and you're not triggered so much. So you are in this kind of neutral zone. And if something makes you happy, you get happy, but or sad, you get sad, but you are neutral until you have that spontaneous experience.
I just find that it's a little dangerous sometimes to interpret that to say being neutral, because there's another survival mechanism, which is being like overly rational, that will damper emotions and just say, oh, I'll leave it for now, because, you know, it's
worse. No, that's not what
so
I'm
on.
Talking about. No, yeah. That's not
it
what
needs,
I'm talking about.
It needs to stay alive, you know, in a sense that...
But it's...
It's like an instrument,
whether it's a guitar or piano.
Yes,
it's not always playing itself. It is at a neutral point until that stimuli comes in. And that stimuli can be inner stimuli. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just wake up in the morning, I can feel this joy, you know, which I think is kind of the essence of all of us, that center of peace and calm. But to wake up and be triggered all the time, that reaction, when that's gone, then you can really respond, right, to what's in the moment. And I think that can be very freeing.
Yeah, but it's just that what we don't get to hear often is the way that some masters or Zen masters or Buddhists, that the fact that I like Pema Chodron in that sense, because she's quite realistic about it and she does not deny the discomfort of life. It's just that at some point you need to clean up your thoughts, your thinking. It's not so much your emotions are most of the time a symptom. They're a sign. If you're happy, you don't have to question yourself, because that's the goal. But if you're not, if you're anything in between, you have to, what was I thinking right before I got that weird feeling? What was I thinking? It has to be either based on fear or judgments. And then as you decide to logically investigate, and that's why I refer to that cognitive therapy, which I think for me was indispensable to have a feedback. Because otherwise I'm stuck with my same thinking. I didn't know I was a perfectionist. I never named it that way. I didn't know I feared, dark or things like that. There's tons of things I didn't know I had. I didn't know I was dependent on doing at some point, that if I'd had no work, because I've always been a freelance person, if I had no work, my happiness would go down the drain. I didn't know I was, you know, emotionally dependent on so many things. So
You were attached a lot to the external, it sounds like.
You need somebody to kind of anchor and say, well, the theory of happiness is becoming emotionally autonomous, responsible, caring for yourself. Love yourself like others, but love yourself.
Oh, I agree. And that's, again, that ability to respond to what's really there. That's that responsibility and keeping those emotions fluid, that energy in motion, fluid, but not... you know, overly charged or reactive. So what do you use your music? Do you have a time that you compose? Do you get a feeling or a thought about something, or are you daily working or creating with your music?
Well, it's a all year long process, because there are periods of times where you have to do some other work or some promotion or some shows and things like that. You're not actually composing, but you're always connected to that feel, if I might say. So I have a very small portable recorder, and if I go for a walk, if I go on the mountain or whatever, I have that thing, and then I get lots of ideas while I'm either traveling. I can be sitting in a plane, and then poof, a song will start in my head. So at any time I have ideas, and sometimes ideas, if I don't record them, they'll come back. If I go into that little tunnel in the forest nearby, there's a song that arose there. And every time, and I say, oh, I'm going to forget about it. I said, I don't have my recorder, so what the heck? That's okay. It's just a singing lesson, and that's fun. I'm just warming up my voice, singing with the trees and the birds and so on. And then my surprise, when I came back in passage, the song came back. I stood still, And then I have this voice coming back, said, that's funny, it comes back with the place. So that's why I think the more open, the more present I am, and the more the flow of life can go through me, and the effort, that it becomes effortless in some ways. It really has to do with a quality of presence. I think Eckhart Tolle is my favorite for relating to this quality of presence. I really refer to him. I spent like hours last year. I spent roughly 5 weeks in the woods, deep in the woods, every summertime. And I have nothing whatsoever except my little MP3 thing. And usually the very first weeks, I just am there. With my husband and family, and no technology, nothing. We go once a week, maybe just to, you know, make sure everything's fine in the outer world. But we're surrounded by mountains on the lakeshore and the mountain. And I mean, life is being like almost, you know, neighbors to trees and the grass and the insects. So that's makes you go back to, you know, your natural state of being. And then as the years are passing by, I mean, last year actually was my very first time I could sustain 5 weeks with not a hair of guilt, because I wasn't actually producing, doing anything specific except being there. And I was like, I said to my husband at some point, I said, that's the very first time I have no sense of whatsoever of guilt, because I'm not, you know, achieving something, or because, you know, it's too good to be through, or I don't deserve that, and so on and so on and so on. And this belongs to what I'm, those prejudices and those fears and those, you know, weird ideas and beliefs that we have been trained and that we have to become aware of, and gradually say, no, I deserve this. I take it. Mm-hmm. And being is also a way of creating something, not only doing or having.
Absolutely. I spent time, in Indian ashram, and then locally do retreats, and I think it is important, I mean, obviously, to live in that state as much as you can, or have things set up that you can connect in that way, but also somehow to leave your environment. What's that saying? But, you know, it depends on your inner state, because wherever you go, there you are, right? But it can help sometimes by taking some time off or changing your environment.
We do that every day. I say that to most of my friends that came back from, they went in the south. I'm now in recovery from a surgery, so it's a month in a few days, and so I've been, you know, like really immobilized and lying in physio and ice and so on. So at some point I couldn't use neither my hands or my feet. So, you know, that for an active person that was jogging that's a hell of something. So, I don't know. It's the first time again that I've been that, you know, quotation, not sick, because I don't know. I mean, I have pain. I mean, I had a hard time. I had lots of challenges with those health issues. And it was tough. It's not the easiest part of my life. But funnily, it's a period of my life where I feel the most at ease with whatever's happening right now. So I've had lots of confrontational situations, and for the first time it's not affecting me as it used to. I'm going through it, I'm letting go into the pain, and I don't want to take those things that make you completely crazy on drugs, whatever they're derived from. I don't know, I think it's morphine and things like that. It doesn't fit with me at all. I have a lot of imagination. I don't need that. You don't give me that. So I said quickly to the doctor, I said, okay, I'll handle the pain. And when I decided to do that, I mean, funnily, the pain was like, strangely quite reduced by my letting go of it and just flowing in it and being really, really, really pleasant. I think Eckhart Tolle was my main master for that period of my life as well, for this surgery time where I really practice being in the now, every nanosecond. Because in the now, there's no story. Breathe in, breathe out. And then, you know, sometimes I like to do every day what I do for myself to get used to take care of myself on a consistent basis, not only when I go 2 days away or 3 days to the spa or something like that. because sometimes at some point in my life I could not afford to go anywhere anyways. So what do you do? Well, I think, you know, a few candles or an incense, whatever they are, just as a reminder that this time is devoted for that, a little bit of music, a little cup of tea or your favorite drink, whatever it is, you develop some little tricks to be incite you to, you know, to make it favorable to take care of yourself, to make it a little ritual, and you don't need to go anywhere, actually, because it's in you that you will find this light.
Exactly. And that's why I was saying, wherever you are, wherever you go, there you are. So we take our consciousness with us, you know, no matter where. I mean, if consciousness isn't in that certain way of being, then no matter how beautiful or serene the surrounding is, you won't be in that state. But
no,
I like what you're saying. I think this is so important, Mark, or maybe what you're saying, that we need to do this on an everyday level or basis, and finding perhaps, like you were saying at the top of the program about meditation and whatever it is, finding what nurtures, renews, nurtures, you know, and make it really part of the routine, right?
Yeah, it could be the time that you spend when you're traveling, going to work and coming back from home. I did that for many, many years. That was my zen time. I stopped listening to the radio because it would not put me, I realized after some years, it would not put me in a great, you know, state of mind. And moreover, I cannot act on everybody else's behalf. So it's just impossible to save the world. I mean, in some ways, Jesus, you know, did not succeed completely. So how could I pretend being such a, you know? And so at some point I say, okay, so what's, you know, and I decided that I would investigate my day and or my goals, going to work and my day going back from, so that I would be settling with some situations and things and kind of arguing myself, saying, okay, well, aren't you judging the person? Whatever, you know, I was cleaning myself back and forth. And at some point, I learned a bit of Italian, a bit of Spanish with a CD. And at the time, I was singing if I was in a car, that I, you know, in my car. I didn't have a car for some time, but, you know, I would sing and just warm up my voice for the fun of it. And then, you know, you go and you're stuck in the traffic on the bridge, and you're happy because you're singing, and people look at you and, you know, like kind of they're slaves to going to work, whatever. You always have a choice, whichever it, I mean, I think we don't decide of everything. Life has its ways, and if we don't accept that, we're going to fight with it. I think when you start accepting things the way they are, like for example, in my music career, I had huge confrontations with record deals that were not respected, which brought me to start over from scratch in 205. And I really questioned, you know, like, should I keep going? And I even related that wrongly, but I did at first, like, is this connected to my self-worth, you know, because I'm the product and music is me. And at the same time, it got me to realize that, you know, what you do is what you do and what you are is what you are. And we are all equal. We are all deserving. I mean, we're human beings. We're, you know, human alive creatures, and in that sense, nobody deserves more or less or whatsoever. And the doing is just an accessory thing that we do at some point to help others, and sometimes to help ourselves, of course, and to have some means of, you know, creating more things that we like to do. So I think the baseline from this is really, again, love and do what you want. At some point, if you do a work, I used to have a job at some point younger that I, you know, that wasn't that exciting at all and quite repetitive. And I decided to sing while I was doing that work. I was confined in an area and I was like copying documents at the time, only that, doing microfilms, which probably don't exist anymore. And I would just be in my head, in my music all day to handle that job for some time to allow me to move on in my studies. So there's always a way to handle things, and if it's not exactly what you're wanting to do, well, maybe you're not respecting yourself in some aspects because of whatever it is. Maybe you're a slave to a certain economic standard that is kind of, neglecting your being. It's good to have a pool and, a big house and two cars and I don't know what. But is this really...
If you're a slave to it, though.
Is this really what's feeding your happiness? I don't think so. The opposite way is kind of a real solution to me if you start from there. I did have access to all those things, and I went the other way around at some point, and I decided to drop down lots of things because it wasn't necessary. It's an illusion that is very well carried by the propaganda of the capitalistic world we live in. You know, they have to sell products, so they have to tell you, Michelle, if you wear this, you'll get notified. Michelle, if you put that perfume, all the men will just go on your whatever. You know, they need to make you believe that you absolutely need that thing to feel and be good, which is not true. But just imagine if they'd come on television to tell you, you don't need to go to the shopping mall every week. Just do this and, a little meditation crash course to stay home and get together with the family, clear up some things, talk about your needs and goals, and you'd be surprised, how your family life would improve, and by ricochet, the whole life of every member individually in this family as well. So that's the way it is, but there's so many things, so many information available outside that commercial path.
People need to unplug from that a bit. We've got a couple people in the chat room, Safe Space of Empowerment Room, that are sending you healing light, and which is wonderful. And then also, wind down, there's also a link that you have, marcomay.com/New Age Music.
Yes, if people want to get some, I actually offer, I think it's up to 4 songs now. So you'll get songs from both the albums and the Twitter song. And so you get 4 songs by just registering to my mailing list. And I send 2 communications per year, so you won't be bothered. But if you wish to do a little investigation of what my music is like, I also have on the video page of the same website, marcomay.com, I have over 50 videos that you can use actually to meditate because they're colorful, and I like to work with different artists, photographers, painters.
They're beautiful.
So people are really invited to dig in there. I have a few things that might be of interest in the well-being section of my blog as well. Some articles that I did, treating your body like a temple and things like that. I have all sorts of little things. All the photos actually on the web and everything. Some of this are my paintings or sometimes my husband's photos. So it's kind of a family thing. It's a collective,
wonderful
collective thing.
Now, Marco, we've been putting that in the chat, but just so that people that are listening via the other outlets that we stream from as well as the archives, the best place for your blog is at marcomay.com?
Yes, and then you hit the blog section.
Okay, perfect.
And then will get you to the same place.
Okay, and then also marcomay.com/New Age Music.
Yeah, this brings you to one of my albums. I really thank people for. I'm sending a huge gratitude wave, and I hope that the angels of perseverance, courage, and love are around all of you listening.
Thank you for that. Well, that's wonderful. And you were wonderful to have on the program. Thank you so much for taking time out to come and share your insight and your music with our Awakenings listeners. Thanks so much, Marco May.
It was a huge pleasure. I would be glad to come back. It was a short
good.
One. So let's keep in touch.
Yes, let's keep in touch. You come back on, and if you want to stay longer, I played some music at the top of the program, but we could play some more of your music and get some more of your creative insights as well.
Thanks very much. I'm very grateful to you. Thanks a lot, Misha.
You're welcome. Be blessed.
Have a wonderful.
Oh, wonderful. Beautiful. Thank you all for joining us. That was, of course, Marco May, and you can find out more about her music as well as her insights at markomay.com, and also go to markomay.com/newagemusic. And a beautiful song we'll end with, Twitter Me Some Love.
Twitter Me Some Love. Twitter Me Some Love.
Shine your light,
yearning for the wisdom of the